name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, it's good to be back. I missed you all last weekend. I was in California with my family. I want to thank you for your prayers. We traveled about 7,000 miles there and back, and between Los Angeles to San Francisco and back to Los Angeles. I was there doing one of my jobs. You know my profession as a priest. I also have a profession doing computer work, photography and videography. We're doing 360-degree virtual tours in churches there. We did about 7 churches, and we were very, very busy. My family enjoyed a vacation. Me, not so much. But it was great to be there, and it's great, of course, to be back with you all. I want to speak today about my first profession, though. Second would be priest, third would be the computer work. My first profession is that of a Christian. And it's actually a profession that we all share in common. We're all called to be Christians as our first profession. It works out well, actually, to speak about professions this weekend, as we celebrate just yesterday the prophet Elias, who ascended as if into heaven on the fiery chariot. And then today we celebrate the prophet Ezekiel. I want to share a little bit about the prophet Ezekiel today. But first, since we're talking about professions, we should have a definition. And there are 3 that I found online. The first is a paid occupation, especially one that involves prolonged training and formal qualification. The second, an act of declaring that one has a particular feeling or quality, and it says especially when this is not the case. And third, a declaration of belief in a religion or vows made in a religious ceremony. And in a way, these 3 definitions correspond to the 3 classic professions of ancient time: medicine, law, and theology. In the early days, these were the 3 classic professions: medicine, law, and theology. You might say that medicine corresponds to the paid occupation that involves prolonged training and formal qualification. Law, the act of declaring that one has a particular feeling or quality, especially when this is not the case. Sorry, lawyers. And of course, theology, which is about religion and speaking the word of God. These are the 3 classic professions and these 3 definitions. Now, Prophet Ezekiel was from the 6th century before Christ. He is considered one of the major prophets. There are 4 major prophets. There are 12 minor prophets. And the difference, by the way, between major and minor is simply the length of their writings. Those who are major wrote more. Those who are minor wrote less. It's not the quality or the content of their prophecy. All prophecy speaks about Christ, the one who was foretold, and all prophecy is from God. Ezekiel wrote 48 chapters in his book, and he speaks to us about many things. I'll summarize some of them for you. First, he has this great vision of God in glory. And he sees God on the throne in human form, as a man. And in this vision, he speaks to us about the incarnation, the God who would become man. He also speaks about the 4 living creatures that had the faces of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. And they were all below the throne of God. And these speak to us about the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each having the quality of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. For instance, St. John's Gospel is very lofty. He flies above to the heights of heaven, looks down upon us as from an eagle's perspective. The prophet Ezekiel also speaks about the east gate in the temple, the sanctuary. We read this every time any feast of the Mother of God comes along. Prophecy of Ezekiel, and I'll share just a portion from that. He says, "This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it, therefore it shall be shut." He's speaking to us about the Virgin. that gate that is shut, and no one will enter in by it, because the Lord has entered by it, and it shall be shut. Speaks to us about her virginity in the birth, during the birth, and afterwards.
You all know that the reason the icons of the Mother of God have these three stars is because it corresponds to her virginity both before, during, and after giving birth. She was that gate that no one could open, but God would enter in through in this mystical virgin birth. Ezekiel, as we know, also is read on Great and Holy Saturday, one of those beautiful readings on Great and Holy Saturday. And this one actually is in the evening service. After the procession comes in with the winding sheet, the holy shroud is placed down in the center of the church. We read from the prophet Ezekiel, and he speaks to us about the valley of dry bones. The Lord took him to this valley, and it was full of dry bones, so many bones. And he says they were very dry, as if it had been there for such a long time. And Ezekiel is told to prophesy, to say to these bones, take upon themselves flesh. And as he speaks this word of God, these bones are reassembled and they bear flesh again. And then it says in the prophecy that the Spirit of God would come from, as if you will, the four winds of the world, and they would vivify these bones, giving them life. Of course, this is a prophecy of the resurrection. Ezekiel is speaking to us about the general resurrection of the dead, where everyone will rise at the command of God, and the Spirit of God will once again fill man. But the prophet Ezekiel, like all of the prophets, didn't speak to us just about things to come. He also spoke to the people God's word for that time. And his word, like all of the other prophets, was repent, turn back to God. At his time, the Hebrews had turned away from God. They had turned to idols, which happens so frequently if we're familiar with the Old Testament. They had turned away from God, and Ezekiel told them, listen, you're going to be chastised. And this was at the time that the Hebrews were carried off into captivity. And he spoke to them about how they needed to repent. And if they would turn back to God, that he would show his mercy upon them and allow them to return, and their temple would be rebuilt. And of course, these things came to pass. At the end of his days, the prophet Ezekiel denounced a Hebrew prince for idolatry, who then had him bound to wild horses and had the horses run in different directions, tearing him limb from limb. Pious Hebrews then gathered together his body parts and buried them in Iraq near Baghdad. Prophet Ezekiel is a wonderful example of how when we speak the word of God, there will be some suffering that comes upon us. Think about some of the other prophets, sawn in half, stoned, beheaded, burned by fire. The prophets, those who spoke the word of God, they did a wonderful thing, calling people to repentance. But not everyone was interested. And that's why they were slain. Fulfilling, if you will, in typology, the image of Christ, who himself was slain because he didn't want to repent. You know, in the scriptures, we hear this word profession, or another form of it, to profess. And I'll give you a quote from St. Paul to Timothy, who speaks to us Christians about our need to be prophets. Right? We're all called to be prophets in Christ, who's the king, the prophet, and the priest. We're his body. We're to do his work, to speak the word of God to the people, so that everyone might come to believe, to repent, and to know the one God. He says to Timothy, St. Paul, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. When we become Orthodox, when we're joined to the church, we profess our faith in front of the entire community.
And that's just the beginning, by the way. The profession of faith in the church, as we're joined to her, is just the beginning of that profession, that prophetic ministry, because we're called to go out into the world and to share this faith. That's the apostolic nature of the church. These prophets spoke of Christ, his coming, which was to take place, and the apostles spoke about Christ's coming, which has taken place, and in a sense is still taking place within the world through the church. This is our first profession. If you were to be asked by someone on the street, what's your profession?
How many would answer?
I'm a prophet of the Most High God. Hands up.
Okay,
I probably wouldn't say that either. Might say I'm a priest. But our first profession is to be a prophet in Christ, or in his body. And this goes for all of us, no matter what our job is. Some of you have been following tennis of late. Who's watched Wimbledon? Anyone? Watch some Wimbledon? You know who won?
Yep.
Who won?
Halep and Djokovic.
Sorry?
Halep and Djokovic.
That's right. And you know what their job is?
The Christians are Christians.
We're not Christians. What's their profession? Don't say tennis players. Don't say it. No. They're prophets. They're prophets, right? That's their first profession. You know what Novak Djokovic has said about his faith, him being called an Orthodox Christian? He says, "This is the most important title of my life. Because before being an athlete, I'm an Orthodox Christian. Perhaps the greatest tennis player in the world." And by the way, he not only says that, but he tries to live in that manner. If you've seen him speak on the television, give interviews, he's a very humble man. He always credits God. He makes the sign of the cross. He says his prayers. He also will commend his opponents, those who play against him. He's just a man filled with humility and generosity. He says he's made enough money to feed all of Serbia. And he established a restaurant there that tries to do just that. You go to this restaurant and you don't have to pay anything. It's there for the poor and for the needy. And everyone can go and be fed. He has a foundation of which he's the number one donor, renovating schools, helping with other charitable organizations. He's trying to live his faith as an Orthodox Christian because that's the most important thing in his life. Simona Halep, who's Romanian Orthodox, I think is trying in a way to follow in his footsteps. She says, though, that although she brings icons with her and she's a believer and she's trying to be serious about her faith, she doesn't go to church every Sunday. She says it's not her style. But at least she's humble and she's honest, and there's room for improvement for perhaps her and maybe all of us in that regard too, right? To be in church every Sunday is sometimes a difficult thing to do. I want to share with you, though, something from another sport and another nation, our own nation, in the sport of soccer, from someone who's not an Orthodox Christian, but someone who is a believer. Jeleni Hinkle. Anyone know her name? Jeleni Hinkle? Well, I'll tell you about her. She's the top women's left defender in the United States, and she was snubbed from the U.S. women's national soccer team. Why? She's so good, why was she snubbed? And the answer is simple, because in 2017, when she was offered to play on the national team, she saw that she was going to have to wear a rainbow-colored jersey to celebrate gay pride. And when she was presented with this opportunity to play on the women's national soccer team, which she had prepared her whole life for, right? That was the dream. And this team that was being assembled was supposed to win it all, as they just recently did. She said when she was presented with this great opportunity, but also this great temptation, she prayed for 3 days, and she passed. She said, "I'm not going to do it." She posted on Instagram. She said, "This world may change, but Christ and His Word never will." And because of this, if you will, prophetic voice, speaking the Word of God, she suffered. She was asked recently about how she missed out upon winning it all and how she felt about that. She said it was very disappointing. But I think there is a place where peace trumps disappointment. Because I knew in my spirit I was doing the right thing. I knew I was being obedient. Just because you're obedient doesn't make it easy, though. Brothers and sisters, that's the calling of the Christian. To hear the Word of God and to keep it, to put it into practice, to share it with the world, to be obedient to God in all things, to carry our crosses through that. Because we will be rejected, we will be persecuted, we will be snubbed, we may even be martyred. Christians are martyred all over the world, even today. It is difficult to be a prophet of the Most High God. But this is our high calling. I want to close with St. Paul to the Hebrews. He says, "Therefore, holy brothers, called to be partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ." And then he says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession." Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who has promised. Brothers and sisters, remember your profession. Remember who you are. Remember your high calling. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.